May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 397. In themselves as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand when temptations, foes and storms press them close on every hand? 397.
Let us read from the Word of God a few verses in Deuteronomy 33 and also the sixth chapter in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Deuteronomy chapter 33, commencing to read at the 26th verse. That's Deuteronomy 33. Reading from the 26th verse. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Also, friends, let us read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptism, of the doctrines of baptisms, and laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, than things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, and by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, the great God Jehovah, the living God, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, we venture, Lord, once more to call upon thy great and holy name. We beg we may be given that reverence, we might not come in any way of earthly natural boldness, Lord, but be coming to thy footstool, and Lord, to have holy boldness by the exercise of the Spirit. Lord, as thy word has given that encouraging word and statement, come boldly, ye may come boldly to the throne of grace. O Lord, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. O Lord, do look in mercy upon us now. Oh, we would humbly trust we are still found under the eye of our God and his merciful kindness toward us. Thou hast not cut us off, Lord. Thou hast not cast us away. We feel so much, and so many times we feel, have felt and feel still, that thou wouldst be perfectly just if thou didst cut us off and cast us away. The solemn awfulness of our state and condition, especially relating to our wicked hearts and natures. Lord, we are sinners and cannot keep ourselves. Lord, we are weak as worms. Oh, and it is a great question, how can poor believers stand with all those temptations, Lord, which are very much personally felt, Lord, and we do fall. We fall and commit sins of thought, word, and deed. Oh, we cannot claim any better. We have to confess it. Lord, as we're favoured to come and gather in thy house again with our friends, we trust we love in thy name, Lord. Thou hast given us a bond of love to them. And Lord, we trust we do also carry an exercise of love to souls. And Lord, we trust thou hast given meditation on thy word. And Lord, thus we come. Oh, we feel so much to need help. Thy help is greatly needed. And oh, Lord, we felt strong in faith on Wednesday, preaching to the friends at Oakington. Thou, Lord, has laid help on one that is mighty. And oh, what a wonder this is for poor, helpless sinners, weak sinners, worms of the earth, as we've been acknowledging in the hymn. But Lord, oh, we've read a wonderful statement, Lord. Thou, the God of Jeshurun, and rideth on the heavens in thy help, and his excellency on the skies. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Lord, we humbly hope we're found among thy people. And we humbly hope we know thee, the living God. And experience our favour, Lord, is to know by experience thy goodness. And Lord, as one has been pleading before this service, Lord, oh, we felt in his pleadings, Lord, there was acknowledgement of what has been experienced. And Lord, it's what we need to know again. It's that we need restored. Lord, we have been trembling reading the first part of that chapter in the epistle to the Hebrews, Lord. Oh Lord, we tremble at thy word, especially at such portions, such solemn, searching portions, Lord, the first part of that chapter is. Lord, we do hope we can come in with the favour, as the apostle said, but ye, beloved, oh Lord, that we're not left in unregeneracy, we trust, we know. And also, Lord, oh, we shall not be left to fall away, oh, to go back, oh, to so be in such a state as thy word speaks so certainly of. Lord, we depend upon thy grace. Oh, we depend upon thee alone. Our hope is in thee, Lord. Oh, how we would come with importunity, Lord. What wait I for? My hope is in thee. Our hope is in thee. What wait we for? As a people gathered here, our hope is in thee. Lord, so do come tonight and suit a blessing to each case. Thou knowest the cases, Lord. Thou perfectly knowest. And Lord, oh, we pray it may be thy blessed purpose to so attend to the cases here tonight, even through the ministry of the word of poor one preaching. But thy word is precious. And Lord, oh, we pray it may be blessed to precious souls. And Lord, that they will get to thyself all the honour and glory. Lord, thou knowest the cases, the things, the perplexities, the sorrows, the tribulation, that which is in each one's cup. Lord, each one's pathway. Thou knowest all about it, Lord. And with those who are under the onslaught of Satan, oh, they certainly seek to know a little respite from all the rage of hell and sin. Lord, oh, how so often it is we are so much harassed and perplexed. Satan, he tries to do what he can to cause us to make shipwreck of faith. Lord, his temptations, oh, his crafty ways, setting his traps, his gins. Lord, we are no match for him. But, oh, keep the adversary at bay tonight, Lord. May we feel thy blessed presence here. Oh, we know if thou dost afford thy presence, the adversary will flee. Oh, Lord, if we can sing, "Be gone, unbelief, my Saviour is near." Oh, for our relief will surely appear. Lord, we pray that we may feel this now. We remember all our friends, Lord. Every one of the dear people here and those connected with the people here. And as we've heard, pray for one in hospital, we know. A friend is in hospital still by our friend's prayer and also by that which was communicated to us by our friend Ruth on Wednesday. And Lord, we pray for the dear one in hospital, Lord. That was because that she should be operated on in thy will and purposes. And Lord, we pray that the healing process might go on, and the strengthening, and the ability to walk again, and to, oh Lord, if it could please Thee, be able to come home. Lord, Thou knowest all what is needed. Lord, as we think of others in hospital, our mind goes to our friend Bob Rayner, whom we saw yesterday, visited him in the hospital at Broomfield yesterday. Lord, Thou knowest how he's still very weak, and yet, Lord, we feel encouraged Thou hast heard prayer, we believe. And Lord, oh, we're thankful to find him, oh, better than what we anticipated, Lord. We trust we viewed that right. And Lord, we're very thankful for the gracious conversation that dear beloved friend was able to make and enter into, we hope, with us too. For, Lord, we did feel a flowing together. We did feel something sweet and sacred, a fellowship, one with another. And we believe it was, in some measure, bound up in Thee, Lord, in fellowship with Thee, in Thy sufferings. Our dear friend is favoured in his soul. Oh, his poor weak body, Lord, Thou knowest everything about. Thou art favouring him in his soul, we're sure. Oh, we pray Thou wilt heal and raise up. And especially thinking of the little cause at Braintree where our dear friend is deacon there. We're thankful Thou hast raised up another deacon too. Lord, do be with them, Lord, and go on to maintain them and help them as they gather week by week and in the week. Lord, we know, according to the engagement made, Thy beloved servant, our friend Mr. Pocock, is there this evening. Oh, may they know, blessedly, Thy presence there. Oh, Lord, Thou knowest their love to him, and his friends in Essex that will gather, showing love and the sweet union they have in the causes. Lord, be with them, favour them there. And, oh Lord, as we think of others in affliction, Thou knowest there are some, even very young, who are afflicted. And our beloved friend, Thy servant, Mr. Woodhouse, oh, we know not exactly how it is with him, but we know he is very, very poorly. Lord, through the contact with his son-in-law we've had this week, Lord, oh, we pray for him. Bless him and be near him, Lord. May he know Thy blessed presence. Lord, Thy favour in his soul. If it could please Thee, strengthen him, Lord, and raise him up. And knoweth how it is with him in this respect. And we remember, Lord, our dear friend, Mrs. Broome, we were exhorted to pray for her by Thy servant, Mr. Ashby. And, Lord, we have continued in prayer, Thou knowest, Lord, for her. Oh, may she still know the comfort of Thy love. And, Lord, all the family, Lord. And, Lord, oh, we do pray it may be so. As we have sung it many times in our days of being in the way over the years, but Lord, especially we've felt it at this time with the departing home of our dear beloved friend, Thy servant Mr. Broome. Lord, oh, we beg us, one Elijah dies, true prophet of the Lord, let some Elisha rise to blaze the gospel word. And Lord, as fast as sheep to Jesus go, may lambs recruit the fold below. Oh, our burden for this, Lord, is that we'll send forth more labourers into the harvest. Oh, Lord, we bless Thee for what Thou hast done. in our part of Zion, our beloved denomination. And all we pray, Lord, we might truly witness the favour of our God as thou dost use these younger men in the work of the ministry. And in thy time, Lord, give them spiritual children according to thy will. And favour them, Lord, they may be much used in thy name. Oh, for the benefit of souls and thy glory, Lord. So we beg thee, hear us for all these things, Lord, as well as we would pray for our country. You know, there we are, Lord, we are very burdened for it, very troubled. Lord, in mercy, still look upon us. Oh, Lord, may there be those that shall tremble at the voice of God. Oh, Lord, oh, thy judgments are so much abroad in the earth. And, Lord, in England we are in trouble financially. Who knoweth how it's been spread about? Much of the world of trade and commerce, Lord, in trouble in a financial way. Are these thy judgments, Lord? Surely they are. The Lord, thou knowest all the ado regarding the election of the new Pope of Rome, the man of sin. Lord, we understand thou didst send thy lightning, Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, were there any that trembled at it? Lord, thou knowest all about these things. We beg of thee, hear us. Oh, we cast all our care upon thee. Oh, in wrath remember mercy still, dear Lord. And oh, still favour us that we may gather, as we trust by grace we love to do, in this way and manner in thy name. And may we find in thy house, Lord, and this is what we desire for each one tonight, they may find tonight food on the gospel table, that which will do them good, and thou shalt have all the honour and glory. Hear our prayers, our daily prayers, and the cries for our own loved ones, Lord, and young people, Lord, many we have to burden for and troubled over. Thou knowest all our personal grief and sorrow, and burden for souls, especially the souls of our own loved ones. Lord, thou knowest, we beg of thee and cast them upon thee, Lord. Our only hope is in thee, Lord, and what thou canst do. And so, Lord, hear us for all these things we beg, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 574. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth, and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells, and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. 574.
seeking to, as God enables us, keep upon our minds the verse in the Old Testament that we read, especially that verse, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun that rideth on the heavens for thy help," seeking to dwell upon that, as we also look at, as I will name the text, in Hebrews 6, the 18th verse. "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." We have many statements in the Word of God about hope, good hope, this hope we have as an anchor to the soul, as we have it here in the context and many other places. But it's these people, friends, who by the grace of God are brought to flee for refuge, to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. It's them and none others. It's those God has sovereignly loved before the world. And in time he brings them into a solemn exercise of need and concern, and they have to flee for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before them in the gospel. And friends, thus these people taught of God who need salvation, they will not be able to help themselves. One and another here know how we were led on Wednesday with the friends at Oakington. I was really begging for something in the first hymn to confirm my text there, friends. And my text laid upon my spirit was regarding that one who is mighty to save. That one mighty to save sinners. That was, as it were, my theme. Those who needed his need help. God has laid help, was the text, on one that is mighty. And as we sung the first hymn, come in the first hymn, "They that cannot help themselves." Are you like that tonight? Are you one who cannot help yourself? Are you one who greatly needs help from God? And why is it? Is it because you are brought to this, solemnly know your need as a guilty sinner, your need of salvation, your need of mercy, your need of God looking upon you in mercy, and your need to know that you do have an interest in God's great salvation, your need of your sins forgiven, your sins being a burden to you, a great trouble to you, you're convicted, convinced of them, that through your sinning, yours and mine, we deserve to be cast away from God forever. But oh, is it that you need this favour? You're such a one needing mercy, needing to call upon God for mercy. Well, it's this God who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and his excellency on the skies. The eternal God is thy refuge. Oh, is it so? Is this what you want? Now, thinking of it carefully, you see there we read concerning Jeshurun in the beginning of the chapter there in Deuteronomy 33. And the statement is this, concerning God, he's king in Jeshurun. Well, that means, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ particularly. Jeshurun is some have said, a poetic or figurative name. given to the children of Israel. And if we consider it spiritually, it's the dear people of God. God's people whom he loves. And God, of course, has provided, given his son to be king in Jeshurun, in the, among the people of God and for the people of God. And he's head of the church, king in Zion, captain of salvation, the glorious leader of his people, Saviour, Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord. And you'll be able to sing it if God gives you the favour, the weary sinner's friend. And you'll pray to him and pray to God the Father through him, because he is your only hope. He's your only hope for your soul's salvation. It's what he has done, and what he is to you is, by the grace of God, made to be your best beloved. He's made to be that able and willing Saviour too, as you favoured to believe. He is able to save you unto the uttermost. He's able to save them, it says. That means all God's people unto the uttermost who come unto God by him. And so, friends, tonight, we want to consider really this text, but particularly the central clause, a strong consolation, that we might have a strong consolation. I believe the apostle so felt this. You know how he'd been, as it were, speaking in the letter here, some most solemn things in the early part of this chapter. Oh, most searching, solemn things. I don't know how each one of you felt, but how I felt when I was reading them. They were so solemn and searching to me, they are. But oh, what a wonderful, wonderful change was worth. It's a different tenor altogether when you come to the ninth verse. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you than things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Oh, are we in this secret? To know the favour of God, his keeping grace, his saving grace. How we read in that wonderful statement, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Every one of the people of God would fall away under perdition but for grace. But they're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now have we got the witness of that in some measure? I know you will be carrying a burden about your sin and you can't cease from sin. But if you can consider it carefully as God gives light, you know we're not where we once were. We're not in that state we once were in. Although we've got Satan harassing us and perplexing us, and a wicked heart and nature tends to go with Satan. But friends, you're concerned about him because God's given you a new heart and he's given you to feel solemnly within that new heart and nature you possess to be troubled solemnly about your sinning. And you do want to be kept. You do pray to be kept. You do pray to this one who rides upon the heavens for your help. And can you not say he does in measure keep me? Otherwise I would sin my way away and away and down into perdition. He does in a blessed measure keep you, keeps your soul alive. This is what makes you concerned about your bad state in your old nature. You're alive spiritually. None can keep alive his own soul, but God has a wonderful purpose and his perfect way of keeping alive his people. And he makes them so feel the plague of their heart as he keeps them alive. And there's a witness in that, that they are his children, his king in Jeshurun. He is, and there's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help. You couldn't really find a higher, more great and wonderful way to describe how God cares and is ever concerned for the help of his people. He rideth upon the heavens. You know, that's something which you cannot estimate the wonder of. He rideth upon the heavens in thy help. Yours, God, is the creator. He is the owner. He is the Lord of all. And his excellency on the skies, the perfections of deity, of the Godhead, of everything concerning God, his attributes, O God, he rideth upon the heavens for thy help. Can you begin to feel a little faith flowing in to lay hold of this and to believe this and to be able to acknowledge, yes, there is a reality of this deep within me? You do not often feel able to help yourselves at all, but as God gives help, you know, it's so wonderful when the witness of the Spirit appears and is felt within that this is the favour that you really are in by the grace of God. Although you may have so many misgivings, so many things and contradictions in you, and so much the old man seems to be taking the ascendancy, but oh, a sweet desire and prayer. Oh, this is where we need to be, and led by the Spirit, reign o'er us as King. Accomplish thy will, powerfully bring us forth from all ill, till falling before thee, we lord thy loved name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb, and to be so favoured, going after the Lord, and prayer, and faith in exercising prayer, and seeking him in earnestness, and to gain God the Father's ear, pleading the precious name of his well-beloved Son. But friends, to come particularly to the word, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. These two immutable things. God's counsel and his oath. Two immutable things. You know, oh, so profoundly, wonderfully, the Son of God in the counsels of Jehovah. The Son of God was needed much indeed. There to stand a mighty lover and to come to the earth and for the church to bleed and die. Oh, the counsel of God. Oh, his will, his purposes. Oh, those means God devised in eternity before the world to save rebellious man, that the Son of God would come and walk this earth and go to Calvary to suffer in his people's room, place and stead, that salvation may be according to the will of God by divine substitution, that the Son of God would take the sinner's place, oh, and suffer in his stead. Sweet, blessed theme, isn't it? For man, oh, miracle of grace for man, the Saviour bled. And friends, these two immutable things, God's counsel and his oath. And what was his oath to Abraham? Surely blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. Are we within that concerning the Israel of God? Are we within that wonderful oath, that wonderful word? Surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. Friends, in a spiritual way that concerns the whole family of God. And God's blessing is absolutely full and free and perfect according to his will. Surely bless him. I will bless thee. And so, dwelling upon the two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, you know, it's this. The time, appointed time, comes with every child of God who's loved of God and chosen in Christ, when God will begin to bless. Now I want to lead you to consider, if God help you and help me, when did God begin to bless you? If you're a young person, you may be not looking back so far as some of us older ones, you won't be. But according to God's timing, according to God's will, he has to begin to bless. And the first blessing a person can know here on earth, I believe, is to be quickened by God into divine life, born of the Spirit. And you know, God goes on to bless. I believe when he said, surely blessing all bless thee, it will be one blessing after another. And I believe it will be like this. For the most part, according to the will of God, God has his own sovereign purpose, and we must not, as it were, lay down our idea of it. But I believe this. He blesses when he brings. A poor sinner has been made alive by sovereign grace. He brings them into soul trouble. That's a blessing. It's not felt to be so by the child of God at the time, but it's a blessing. Can you go back to when God made you tremble at his word, made you feel your sins like you'd never felt them before? You might have said, I'm a sinner, with lip confession. But when you was made to feel it, and made to feel it before God, God was blessing you. He was blessing. It's the beginning of the reality of God's will, his love for you, made known for the work of the Spirit. He began to bless, gave you life, gave you solemn exercise, gave you to feel his blessing on the conviction of sin. Oh, he blesses. I have many times blessed my God, praised my God, that he brought me under his solemn law, made me tremble before him under his law, and condemned me, and I was condemned to die. Out of the mouth of God Most High, I bless God many times for it, because I know that had I not known that, I would not need the Son of God, the Saviour. It was in those days, as we've looked back recently, trying to put together a few notes, as we're in our 50th anniversary year, you know, it was at that time when we were brought under conviction of sin as God went on and then in mercy raised one to a hope that Christ was being made then so exceedingly precious to us. And on one Sabbath morning, hearing the servant of God in Bedfordshire preach from the words, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, we could receive that as a promise from God. That as we were seeking, that the Lord might be, we might know him more, know and love him more, might know the preciousness of Christ more. We had the promise given, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Now, not wanting for any personal highlighting to speak of myself, friends, but to God's glory, is it so with you? Are you under God's blessing? Have you been, and can you acknowledge it? And let me put it point blank as how I feel. But I hope in love, you know, have you got something you ought to tell about? And God bless you. Is God holding now back from you his favour? Because he has blessed you. He says, surely bless and I'll bless thee. And he has favoured you. He's favoured you with those solemn things in measure that we've touched upon. And he's raised you to a hope and he's made Christ precious. And he may have done more. He may have done much more. But have you grieved him by your disobedience? Now, I'm not trying to make any kind of criticism. It's just come to me. I never premeditated to say that. But, you know, I think of times when the Lord gives to his servant something to say in a moment. It was so with me, that when I was under the ministry of the late Mr. Leonard Broom, a dear beloved friend who we just feel greatly the loss of, his godly father, and he, by the Spirit, was led to feel persuaded that there was one or more young men who had been greatly blessed. And he looked up into the gallery at Bethel Chapel, Luton, where I was. He said, I feel there's one or more young men in that gallery. You've been so greatly blessed. And God has a purpose that you should preach the gospel. That was back in 1964, friends. And that was the beginning of my exercise. But friends, whatever is your exercise tonight, does it come under this oath of God that you are given to be able to understand it something as we're bringing it before you? These two immutable things, his counsel and his oath, and surely blessing all bless thee, and he's begun to bless thee, he's begun to favour thee. And don't forget, the blessings of God are not always joy. Eternal wisdom there designs to give us always joy. You must know sorrow. You must know conviction. You must know the guilt of your conscience under the law of God, the law condemning you in some measure and making you feel you're just desert of God's condemnation and punishment for your sins. And this will make you need the Saviour. And as you have a hope raised up, he will become very precious. And as he favours you to feel this more and more and seek him, oh, there's none like. There's none like your best beloved. There's none like the God of Jeshurun. And remember, it was stated at the beginning of the chapter he was king in Jeshurun, and so this must relate to the Son of God himself, as well, of course, as God the Father, God Jehovah. But, oh, friends, here tonight, this relates to God Jehovah, but God by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. And this is all bound up in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. You see, God's people are brought to know they're in eternal danger. They're brought to know they're in great danger because God is so holy, holy, holy. He cannot look upon sin without complete abhorrence, and he must punish sin. But oh, the wonderful wonders. God knew how wicked man had been, knew that God must punish sin, and out of pity Jesus said, I'll bear the punishment instead. If God's blessing you to so seek the Lord and believe in him, as God gives that faith and strengthens your faith and gives light and the blessed knowledge and understanding of this under his wonderful teaching, that God's way of salvation is by the sacrifice of his dear son, and that price paid, our dear friend in the vestry prayed regarding our need of the atonement. And you know how we need it. We need to know and receive by faith the atonement. Paul speaks of it right into the Romans. We have received the atonement. And oh, how we need it, friends, to receive and know our interest in the atonement of Christ, that Christ has shed his blood to put away all the sins of the whole church, and to know it was for me. It was for me the Saviour bled and died. This is what you need. And the reality of it is, you will be brought to be fleeing for refuge, fleeing from the wrath that is to come. In that way, under the light and teaching of the Lord, as God makes you feel so solemnly what danger you're in, you're fleeing for refuge. There is wonderful figure of this in the way those that had committed awful crimes, they fled for refuge to the cities of refuge. Those cities of refuge which were set in among those tribes, such as Naphtali and so on, there was a city of refuge, and they fled to the city of refuge. You know the record of it. But this theme, friends. Many times when we've been in trouble and sorrow and soul trouble as well as other troubles that cannot be separated really from things, the things of grace and the things of providence, God's will and pathway for us that we must tread, and when it's sometimes huge sorrows meet us as we go and devils aim our overthrow, but you know, that's such a time when we need to flee to the city of refuge. And that theme in the hymn has been so blessed to me. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. And you know, to tell him all our rising grief, for thou alone canst heal. Thy word can bring us sweet relief for every pain we feel. Oh, to walk with God like this, to be living by faith, looking to Jesus, trusting in him, seeking grace to help in every time of need, and fleeing to this city of refuge. We're made by grace. It's by grace we are made. We are given this favour, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. The last part here of this verse, friends, it identifies the characters who have fled for refuge. It's these characters who are in danger, who need to flee for refuge. They've committed some awful crime. We sing of him, our dread crimes, or your dread crimes, once pierced his heart, sunk his soul in mournful smart. But listen, this is the gospel. But his sin atoning blood ne'er maintains our peace with God. And you that have had the application of it, notice the theme there. Maintains. Once in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. If once that application has been received and known by the Spirit, and faith given to believe, you have Christ's divine atonement on you. You know, once applied, it's always on. But you can't really feel it always. But oh, if the Spirit give you light and show you that once applied, it's always on. It cannot change. Oh, it cannot ever change. Once in him, in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. I believe it, friends. I hope I can say tonight, I believe it with all my heart, with all my soul, that this is true. We might have a strong consolation. Strong. This word, strong. Strong. And I believe it's based upon the counsel of Jehovah, as we've said. The favour being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might by the grace of God. Strong consolation. It's what God has spoke. It's what God has done. It's his counsel and his oath. We might have a strong consolation. It's by these two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Sometimes, friends, it's good and blessedly helpful, wonderfully so by God and under God's favour, when you can consider it like that. It's impossible for God to lie. These two immutable things whereby it is impossible for God to lie, of course, because it's bound up in God's counsel. The counsels of Jehovah before the world. What must be fulfilled. What must be accomplished. According to the perfect will of God. The salvation of the whole church of God. By two immutable things which is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. Do you believe that it is impossible for God to lie? There are many places in the Word of God where the solemn practice of lying is found. There's a wonderful theme. We read it to a friend Bob Rayner yesterday. In Isaiah 63, we read there, beginning that part of the theme begins. It's the loving kindnesses of the Lord and so on. But then it comes to this: surely they are my people, God says. Children that will not lie. So he was their saviour. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and he carried them all the days of old. You see, it's God's grace that makes his people to be children that will not lie. But oh, in that measure they know that grace in exercise. It's like their God. It's like, it's not as great. It's not as full and great, but it's like. You see, God, he cannot lie. He is God, Jehovah. It is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. He cannot of his oath repent. He cannot. He will have his people safe home with him in glory. And where he's begun the work of grace, he will carry it on. And he will complete it. He will finish the work that he began. And, you know, even you will be able to say in me a sinful worm. And you'll be able to believe it as God gives you the faith in exercise. That he will complete it. You'll pray it like, you'll pray for it like that. Finish the work, Lord, thou hast begun. Go on, thou mighty prince, thy wonders to make known. Deliver his soul, redeemed by blood, shall trust in thee alone. This is the favour of God. And it's impossible for God to lie, and that we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. There are many ways you will be led in meditation to consider the hope in the gospel. I've sometimes been dwelling upon it when it's been a dark season with us. when we felt again to be in captivity, again to be in a far off condition from God, we feel, you feel it, you see. The life within you makes you feel it, keeps you, God keeps you alive to feel it. And when you feel in such a place, you have a glimpse forward, the hope that such a day will come, the day of perfect liberty and joy forevermore in heaven. The hope that such a day will come makes seeing the captive's portion sweet. It does. You see, God keeps his people alive, keeps them exercised. We might have a strong consolation and fled for refuge. You know, if we consider somewhat more the reality of consolation, I'll put it to you like this. It seems to come like this to deliver it to you. You know, the people of God will have many disappointments, many things which will not be easy for them to bear. But they are the people of God. These characters by grace are the people of God. And God has appointed it that his people shall not have all joy, eternal wisdom, their designs, to give us always joy. There will be much sorrow, much tribulation. But think of it like this. These are God's people whom he sovereignly loves. He will have them for his own. He's bought them with a price. He's brought them out. He's caused them to leave this world's deceitful shore by his grace. And they are pilgrims here, pilgrims, the pilgrims of Zion, chosen of God. His spirits are filled with dismay. But think of what the theme goes on. Since ye have eternal redemption through blood, ye cannot but hold on your way. But you know, that we might have a strong consolation. The reality is that every child of God will certainly not find it to be heaven here on earth. And there'll be many disappointments, and God blessing his people, surely blessing all, bless thee. We can't, as it were, take one part of our experience and set it against another to consider it in our carnal reasoning, friends. If we do, that won't do us any good. But if we consider it by God's grace, with the light he gives, I believe you consider it like this. You know, according to the teaching of God's word, God's people will know disappointments. They will know trials. They will know much tribulation. And if you are concerned and exercise about your never dying soul, and is that not greater in importance than anything else? You know, as you consider it like this, well, in my experience, these things I'm having to walk through, they're so perplexing to my poor mind and so disappointing to my natural desires and what I would long to know more of, things that I would like to know and enjoy and what I'd got planned in my life. But God's appointed it should be a cross providence. Disappointment, tribulation. One of the hymn writers says, tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. But friends, can we see and understand this? This is why the people of God need a strong consolation. And this is what makes the strong consolation even more wonderful. And for these characters, the witness of these who are fleeing for refuge to lay hold of the hope in the gospel is that they are having to prove much tribulation. They are having to prove disappointment. They are having to prove Trials which make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring us to his feet, lay us low and keep us there. And God chastens too. These people have to know his chastening. And sometimes when you're having to witness and go through a pathway which is very much different to what you would have liked to know, you may have to feel it. The Lord God, your Heavenly Father, is chastening you. Chastens his people be times, many times, according to what is needed. But it is in love and not in anger to give them an expected end. Oh, that we might have a strong consolation. And you know the purpose of God's chastening, the purpose of God's sanctifying trial and the disappointments and troubles and sorrows is to make us pray, to make us flee for refuge, to make us go to the Lord, flee to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that rock, to see that great rock in a weary land, even Christ, to be going to him, going like Toplady did, as he feared the Lord, as that his wounded side, let me come to thy wounded side, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin my double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. And you see how he was taught, not the labours of my hand. Nothing of that can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? Oh, for sin could not atone them as save, and thou alone. And you see, this is what each soul has to be learning. What God teaches, how he deals with them for their good. To make them right and keep them right, to save them from themselves, world and flesh and devil. Oh, to so prepare them for joys to come in heaven. They have to learn this is not their rest, it is polluted. And oh friends, that is hard, hard. And God's teaching is hard and irksome to the flesh. But oh, it's good for the soul, it's good spiritually. It's perfect. You know, God says he will perfect this thing that concerneth his people. He'll perfect it. That means complete it. Complete the work of grace. And then take his people home to glory. That's God's way. His perfect way. It's for his perfect will. So that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. We were preaching about the Lord mighty to save, as I said, and God has laid help upon one that is mighty. But we also felt led, and it's still with me now, to come to these points concerning the Son of God. Oh, so wonderfully. He is set forth in the Word, even as he was hailed so by John the Baptist, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And we read in Isaiah's prophecy, he's led as a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, friend. Oh, we come to the Lord, look to him, the Lamb of God. We fall before him, humbly trusting in his cross. Oh, this is how God's way that we should have a strong consolation. We fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. Oh, it's all what he has done, how he suffered, bled and died. Made complete atonement for the sins of the whole church. Bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, to have a glimpse of him. Tis he. As he came to this earth, God's dear Son, wrapped in humanity to die for crimes that we have done. And oh, as we're approaching the season of Easter time. Oh, that we might by faith go to the cross and stand there like those Marys and view the Lord there. John was there. Oh, how the Lord spoke to his mother, and how he spoke to John. And oh, how they witnessed him suffering in their own place instead. Friends, if we flee for refuge, to lay hold of hope in the gospel, oh, we must come to the cross and creep beside him like a worm and see him bleed for me. Oh, if you have this favour at this Easter time, you'll be abundantly blessed and favoured. I look back to an Easter time when I was so wonderfully, abundantly blessed. Oh, it's a long while ago now. Oh, I long to know the blessed renewing of it, the blessed favour, to know and taste redeeming love again. The wonderful favour of it. God in great mercy does give me a good measure of light and favour and touches and tokens. And we are not in that gross darkness, of course, where we were, and we're not in darkness all the while. But, oh, friends, to know the blessed favour, and indeed blessing, the seal of the Spirit again, when we can say and testify all our sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, that we might know this again. And there are some of you, I believe, are earnestly seeking for it, to know it again. And some of you younger ones are seeking for it, to know it, to know and taste redeeming love. And where you have had tokens of his love, it makes you want more. Oh, give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, like the sparrows, you want to find your beloved. Oh, you seek him, and you grieve if you cannot find him. Like Job, when he was in earnest prayer, he had to yearn and mourn, and he couldn't find him. But, oh, he still got faith in exercise in some measure, so that he could say, he knoweth the way that I take. Is there a soul here tonight? You can say that as Job did. He knoweth the way that I take. And is it that he gives you too that sweet confidence of faith in measure? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, you're one who's fleeing for refuge. There's a witness of that in it, friends. If you are in exercise like that, it's the Spirit's work to bring a soul into exercise and keep a soul in exercise, to keep a sinner, an older sinner in life. It's a wonderful way it's put in the psalm, he holdeth our soul in life. Oh, he does. He will not let those he's quickened and those that are born of the Spirit die. He will not let them go away under perdition. He has a purpose to save. There's a witness in the quickening. There's a witness in the kill by grace. The kill by grace is the witness of electing love. It is indeed. And the people of God, they are to so learn and live and be brought to understand as God teaches, and to lay hold of the hope in the gospel by faith. So tonight, friends, remember the reading in Deuteronomy. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth on the heavens for thy help, and his excellency in the skies. The eternal God is thy refuge. If you can feel that, as God gives you the faith, it's a wonderful thing. Underneath of the everlasting arms, that's a word sure and certain enough to die on, is such a word as that. And that's what we each need to be granted, even the seal of the Spirit, to have God's word to rely on and even to die on. As God gives that faith in exercise, I'm sure he will so well ground his people that they will be found right at last. And Oh, the blessedness. Your exercise will be this in that dread moment. Oh, joy, beneath his sheltering blood. And you believe this as you pray for it, as you desire it, as you you acknowledge it. Oh, in that dread moment, oh, joy, beneath his sheltering blood, will Jordan's icy waves divide and land my soul with God. Friends, we believe this. I humbly trust I believe it. And so we live by faith upon the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. 980.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, all we felt in singing, the deer steel seems to be able to put it so much clearer than what the poor preacher's been trying to bring before the friends. We thank thee for the witness of the Spirit with the hymns. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt grant us that confidence, as is found in that last hymn, that we may believe, that we are sure and certain, grounded on the rock, our eternal life is sure, and our prospect for heaven. Forgive anything amiss, dear Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us. Amen.